Welcome to the Mindset Master Podcast. Master your mind, master your life. Has anyone ever told you in your life, maybe a friend or a family member, hey, you've really changed? And how did you process that information? So Farouk, has that ever happened to you?
Oh yeah. In fact, I ask myself the same question. I've changed.
That's happened to me, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. So what, in your career, what have you?
Career, friends growing up, especially. Because you can get deviate your path in life,
like college or whatever.
Your high school friends, especially.
Yeah. So don't worry. I think that's a pretty cool thing. Like I think change is good. It's just nerve wracking.
Yes.
Right.
Why would someone say that to you too?
Yeah.
How do you process that information?
You know, I gotta tell you, I think the question first time, I know people said that to me, but it was like, as if number one, change was bad. But I think what they meant was you're becoming a different person.
Sure.
And the implication being you're becoming a different person and not a good person.
Yes. It comes with a negative undertone.
Yeah.
I think there's some insecurity there for the person asking because they're afraid they're gonna change and lose that friendship or
the relationship, right?
Relationship.
Yeah. And that happens so much as you're growing. You know, because like when you're growing as a person or as a leader, you're not who you were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So the change is even faster.
Right.
Sometimes even family members can't keep up. Right. So we have this 1-year internship program. I mean, you've probably seen a few people go through it, but the ones who have understand it, I mean, the statement is people come out and say, I feel like I'm 5 years of experience in 1 year, which really means I feel 5 years older, which really means I'm so different. When I look at my friends think I'm different. I think different. And just 1 year of intense leadership development, do that. And actually, we consider that success. We actually tell our team members, hey, they call them, interns. We tell them, our fellows, if they're post-college, you're going to come back a year later and say, I'm just a different person.
Sure.
Right? But that prepares them for a change. They're going to college, you know you want to come out changed. But in life, when you don't have a program, it looks so nerve-wracking, right? So how did you handle it? Like, what was your point of, hey, you're changing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it stemmed from their feeling kind of lonely in the fact that I was spending more time working or spending more time on, you know, less time on sports, less time on things that, you know, passions or hobbies that I used to have, and kind of growing up in a way and finding things that I found that were more interesting and more fulfilling for me, and being, you know, preferring to, you know, go to bed early because that way I could get up the next morning and feel fresh and ready for the day and try to be my best self instead of, you know, staying up and playing soccer till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love doing that, but at a certain point,
you
can't function at the same level that you need to be professionally successful if you're up that late and, you know, not optimizing your sleep, not optimizing your yourself. And that you just simply have to make those changes in life and you have to grow up at a certain point.
That happened after I got married too, by the way. My friends started saying, you're just not as accessible anymore. You don't hang out with us as much anymore.
I mean, that's just a given. That's right. Everybody. That happened to everybody. To everybody.
Well, I think what they were saying was that we're not that important. So you're kind of letting our friendship go to the side of what they were trying to, you know, commentate. And, you know, if somebody told me that right now, I'd say, great, why don't you get married too?
Yeah. Well, then you can then once you have kids, then it's really the time.
Then the next change happens.
Yes. Yeah. Once you have kids, then it's priorities change. Yeah, you're not going to be able to go out anywhere near as often.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think also, like, I remember when I started my, when I was working in another place, and I had concepts of what I would not do if I ever became a boss. And I see other people struggle with this, but when they become the boss or when I became the boss, I actually had to do certain things that I told myself I wouldn't do.
Sure.
And so it was one thing where other people said I was changing. It was another thing where I know that I was changing because I was doing that. I just didn't understand at the point that I told myself I wouldn't do it, why the other person was doing it and why there was no other way than this. Mm. right? And I think that's a scary change. Because then now you're thinking, oh, am I true to myself?
Sure.
Right? And I want to talk, I mean, I want to talk about that because I think the biggest change is, one thing is, you know, change is good because it means you're changing, assuming it's changed for the better. Some basic level change, you can't stop it. Like, you know, if you would start growing beard, you're going to start growing physically. I mean, so even if you're not, whatever, you know, male, female, whatever, you just change. You can't control it. There's no control. Get used to it. You're going to have fun. Yours will be awkward, all that sort of stuff. Like, my 17-year-old, like, is, you know, sometimes you have eye-hand coordination goes away. No, but then there's the other part where other people see the change. But then I think the higher or the harder change is when you see the change. It's in that Johari window of the stuff that you know about yourself that others don't. And you knew you wouldn't do. You told yourself, I'm going to never be like my dad, for example. I'm going to be a different parent than Alabama, for example. Or I'm going to be a different leader. And then now you're doing it. And I think that changed. I think I've seen a lot of people get hung up on that. I don't know if that's happened to you or not too, but it's jarring for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, part of this is also just having goals in your life. And once you set a goal, to get to that goal, you're going to have to change.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I remember one time, like, I think one of the things that I had to kind of struggle with was I started just hiring new employees for my business was growing the first, like, you know, first couple of years. And I thought that the best leader was I knew I wanted to be a supportive boss. Okay. I didn't, but then I remember I had this one employee and she just was very unhappy at work. Okay. And it was a tutoring business we used to run and people used to pay for the tutoring, of course. Right. And we had to make very highly educated people go to people's houses. So we had to pay them well. We had to charge the customer well too. And for months, man, I was like, how do you feel? Okay, why don't we change this? Literally started changing the process for her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I think after like months, I just had to let it go. And then I just find out later on that she just hated her job because she felt that she was just helping rich spoiled kids.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I felt at the process of letting her go that I'd become that boss who was just demanding too much.
Okay.
Because in my mind, I thought that's what I had become, but not realizing that number one, I had it, but number two, that's the best thing for that person.
Right. She's not aligned with where you need her to be for this company to be successful.
Right. The values don't match. And the value for us was whoever wants to educate, whoever wants to get better at what they do in education, we want to support them. We wouldn't care what your background, what your economic background was.
Of course. Yeah.
Amongst other things we wouldn't look at. For that person, it was important. So it was more of a question of her and how she saw people than how we did too.
Yeah.
You know what I think comes up also? Is people start attacking you. Because you're different now. Right? I mean, I'm sure it's happened to you too. We'll have to hear more about it. But what'll happen is as you start becoming better at what you do, more people start saying, hey, you changed. Some people start feeling jealous that you're changing.
Yeah.
Or you're getting more successful because they don't care about the success. It's that you're not there anymore. You're not where they wanted you to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's happened to you and how you dealt with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly been times where people were, you know, I think when you're an entrepreneur and you're focusing on building something and people see either new titles or new achievements or, you know, larger teams that you're managing and, you know, they're maybe stuck in a job that there feels like a dead end to them. That jealousy definitely happens and they get very defensive about themselves. It comes from a self-conscious place because I've seen it, you know, myself too, where I see, oh man, I really wish I was pushing harder to achieve greater things. And I feel like I should be getting to the point where, you know, this person is, we're in the same class, we're in the same program, like we're doing the exact same things. And why aren't I at that same point in the career or in life?
Yeah.
And, you know, it just takes a lot of kind of an ego reduction to be able to get past that. that, and that's not all. And also, I think social media creates a lot of these problems too, because you have this perception of, you see a perception of someone's success, or you're portraying your success onto others.
Yeah.
Where they may be looking at it like, oh, wow, everything is just perfect in his life. It's like, well, this is one snapshot of it.
Yeah.
So it's, it takes a lot of, I think, self-reflection to acknowledge that, hey, this is just one aspect of life. There's a lot of other things that are taken into account. And I think you need more personal conversations to just kind of get on the same level with people. And I think we've lost a lot of that in society right now.
Yeah. You know, here's what I've learned or seen. I think most people, you know, about 80% or 85% of people hang around with actually don't care about them too much. So 85% of people you're hanging around with, 85%, you know, whatever. They just don't care. Only 5 to 10% actually care. The 5% actually want you to succeed. 5 to 10 actually want you to succeed. Another 5% will probably don't want you to succeed. Actively will sabotage trying to you not succeed. They may not get a chance to ever show that. but so once you know the data, just be okay with it. That means that the person, I think, who's, you still all got to have, like, relationships matter, right? I think the way to know who's is number one, change is good. Very few people will accept you for the changes you're going through. Because, you know, if you're hanging around, if you're making, like, say, X thousand dollars a year, you're hanging around, you're going to certain things. Maybe you go to certain places with your friends to hang out with, right? Well, when you start making 3X, you're just going to go to a little bit different place to go, okay? Not because you're much more, like, a faster person. Maybe you have much less time. So you're willing to pay for a different place of time, and you're willing to go to that. And now you talk different things. You know, now you're not maybe talking as much about sports or high school or whatever you were before. Now you're talking about other things that are always consuming your mind. So that changes the people you hang out with. So very few people will be able to work with you on that, because they're not there because of where you are now. They're there because of you. And you're comfortable not being in the moment, like at the moment with them, but being at where the whole history of trajectory has been with you. So I think as long as you know, the way to kind of overcome that, just kind of know your values, right? Because I think the other thing I heard a lot of people saying is, well, you know, if I'm changing, you know, am I going to change all my friends? Am I going to have friends? Am I going to go work with my relationships at home? And no, it just comes down to what your values are. As long as you're core to your values, then give yourself the grace that you're going to change how you see the world. And the majority of the world is there for a little bit of a good time, but very little bit of the world is there with you long term, just as you are probably going to be caring for a very little bit of the world long term, because that deep relationship is too deep to be impacted where you are at the moment.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk a little bit about your, like, I think if you looked at our friends, oldest and deepest friends, usually the long term.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And those are the ones who really want to see you succeed. And hearing those numbers that kind of break down, you know, it tells me that, you know, people, it would make a lot of impact on somebody if you do care if they succeed and if you are looking out for their best interests. So if you say to somebody, hey, I'd love to, what are you looking for? What are your goals? How can I help you get to where you want to go? What, you know, can I offer any advice or any connections that I have in my network? You know, that goes a long way with people.
Yeah.
And then that, when the shoe goes on the other foot, maybe you need a favor, then they can return it. But that's always been good advice, is, you know, talking to people, finding people in your circle of friends who maybe you haven't talked to in a long time, seeing how you can help them. Maybe it's getting a new job, or maybe it's an introduction to someplace, or they're trying to break into a new industry, then, you know, giving some advice on what you've seen, and then, you know, just helping other people rise the ranks and where they want to go, you know, ends up coming right back to you.
Right. Yeah. So I think those are like building up new relationships, right?
Well, re-engaging goals too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, right. So yeah. So you pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sometimes you have a relationship that isn't ready to ripe at that moment.
Yeah.
It is now.
Sure.
Yeah. Because sometimes you're just not ready.
Right.
or they're in a different phase in life now too.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of some of these movies. I think it was a Tarantino movie where everybody's lives kind of just come together mush for a little while and kind of go away. I forget what that one was, but anyways, So are you ready for that relationship? Are they ready now? Maybe now they are, they weren't before. One more thing that I realized out of this is sometimes letting go of old relationships is the only thing left to grow to our next level.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it can bring you right down, mentally taxing. It's like a vampire.
Yeah.
That it just continues to suck your life energy and you can't give it that energy force.
So talk a little bit about where you see like people kind of struggling with that.
When someone's commenting on your social media posts of negative comments, or say they're making, you hang out with somebody and they're just giving you underhanded comments about where you're at in life or where you're growing. I've seen this with friends, I've seen this with family, and it's destructive and it is unhealthy.
Yeah.
And if you think about you are the combination of the top five people that you spend your time with, well, you're also one of those people is reducing you or minimizing you. Not allowing you to feel the success in what you've been doing. And that's not someone you want to have in your life. That is a cancer that is going to start festering and is going to create mental problems. And hopefully you take it and you find a good mindset of resilience and to power through it.
Yeah.
But after a certain amount of time, there is a point where it's worth cutting that person out. That's what I found.
Yeah. I've met some friends and they've had really bad relationships historically with family members, right? Maybe the parent did something, or the sibling did something, or the aunt and uncle did 20 years ago. And I think over there, the way to grow, you know those five people you're talking about, you spend the most amount of time with? I think that means five people you think about all the time. Because sometimes that person who did something to you a long time ago is consuming so much energy.
Sure, the mental space.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So they're not physically in front of you, but you're always thinking about it. And then you always get triggered about something that happened 10 years ago, or, oh no, I know where this is going. And I think that's part of five people. You got to let those five people go. So how the heck do you let somebody go who's physically actually not in front of you anymore? So fine. You're like, listen, avoid them. Don't hang out with them. Sometimes you have no choice. You have to, because you still got to see everybody, each other, and Thanksgiving dinner. I've got it. Okay. But then, in your head.
It's a process. The individual to everyone. Because it can be a hamster wheel of, anytime you see a certain trigger, can trigger that person back into your life. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think the first step is just recognize it, right?
Sure.
I'll tell it sometimes, to my wife's point, she said, listen, you're just spending so much time over there thinking about this. I'm like, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. Really? Yeah. And then she would tell me this, you're doing this. You're like, go get your calendar. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I didn't realize I spent 8 hours last week on this thing, okay, or this person or this issue. It's really bothering. Now it's really bothering you. So I'm like, okay. So it is bothering me. At least you start off. Well, great. Then how do I learned a few things. Number one, the first decision is to kind of not give that person the power to bother you.
Sure.
Because they don't care. You're thinking about them. Actually, frankly speaking, why are you giving them my attention? Because it's anyway. So the second part is, I think you start doing things that actually hang around people who actually are valuable. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I think I had to kind of learn. My wife and I, we're much more conscientious who our friends are, how much time we're spending with them, who we're spending time with. And naturally just ends up reducing the headspace you have there. The only thing, Alex, today is that if you still haven't resolved it, it'll come back and trigger you later. And that part, I do think, I'm not sure there's any way to resolve it other than just talking it through. I mean, journaling is one way, coaching is another way. Sometimes just being able to call the emperor naked is just saying, hey, that thing triggers me about that event that happened a while ago.
Sure.
And now the boogeyman's out. Okay, tell me more. Well, this happened, that happened. How'd you feel about this? I felt this. Okay, great. Hey, what did you get out of that? Because everything happens for a reason. Life doesn't happen to you. Life happens for you. Okay, that happened because I was simple. Now I know that when I was there, I changed this, and those are changes I need to do. There would be no other way I would have made these changes. Sometimes the anger of that situation made me do something that has paid off well. Okay, great. Now I got what I'm supposed to get out of that situation. I can let it go now.
Letting go is key.
Yeah, yeah. And I think just not avoiding it, just actually hitting it head on and just talking about it, I think just takes the, like unknots that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a book out now called Bad Therapy. Bad Therapy for Kids is what she's really diving into.
Okay.
But her whole premise is that a lot of the juveniles who are going through therapy are oftentimes, in the therapist is biting the same negative repercussion thought process over and over and over again. So when they weren't even going to be ruminating on that type of negative thought, the therapist is asking them to continue to contemplate of how they felt about this negative situation. And I feel like that's the same thing that anyone can get into.
Oh, man. I had a friend of mine. He went to, him and his wife went to a couples therapist. Okay, just trying new things out. They weren't like on bad terms. They just want to kind of facilitate it. Discussion is what they wanted to get. And, I think the therapist was pretty bad. Because she picked on a point and she kept on, what's the word, picking on an old wound. But didn't direct it to closure, just kept on picking. And each time, both him and his wife just got so agitated. And then right there at minute number 50, in the middle of that heat, she says, oh, time's up.
Oh, see you next month.
That never happened, man. That never happened. So you're looking for a therapist, and they make you feel worse by the time you leave because the clocks run out. It means they didn't use their time well. You should come out with closure. 1 hour is enough to come out with closure.
That didn't stop there.
No, they went out. But I tell you, that because you're done, right? It lingered for weeks at home.
Sure. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about these kids, I mean, that's terrible because they're not even aware that this is going on with them. That's how they're playing. I'm assuming mom and dad or the government's always paying for this.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. That's terrible.
At a certain point, her entire premise is okay. For certain things, you need to move on. It needs to be done with. You need to stop ruminating on it. You know, there are certainly very serious situations where your therapy is very much warranted. But for a lot of these smaller things, and you know, we're talking about a toxic friend in your life.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes you just cut it out.
Dude, I remember, I thought you'd bring it up. I mean, my kids, when they were applying for college, one of the questions was, you know, write an essay on when you were discriminated against.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, and how you felt. Not about how you solved it.
Oh, good point.
How did you feel at that moment? Like, what the heck is the purpose of that question? Make you go number one, it forces a person to go find a problem where there none was. I mean, that wasn't a significant portion never faced that. And this was racism or something, some sort of discrimination. And my son, my just dad, I was like, so enjoy life. Dad, I just made up the story. But I mean, I don't want you're a minority, you never felt this. Like, maybe I did, but I don't want to kind of go through that.
Yeah, there you go.
He got into that college.
That's probably a good story.
But this is number one. Is actually not teaching you to be honest with yourself. It's actually making you make up a case because it forces you. And it wasn't an optional question. It was a required question. And number two, it doesn't say, hey, how to solve the problem. It makes you sit over there and wallow in your feelings and not forget over, I mean, get figured out how to move on from it. Yeah. And so to your point, I mean, this is like crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So go talk to your kids, okay?
Always talk to your kids. That's what's going on. Help them solve this, okay?
But for you to help them solve this, you gotta get over yourself too.
It's true, yeah. Well, kind of end on this. My favorite part of the getting negative people out in the vampire lore is that a vampire is not allowed to open the door to your house to come in.
Hmm.
You have to open the door for the vampire to come into your life. And so you're inviting in this negative energy. And one of the best advice I've heard is to do everything you can to block that out and to not invite that negative energy so that we can keep your positive mind space.
Awesome, man. So don't let the vampires in.
All right, thanks, everyone. Go to mindsetmaster.com for more information, for coaching, for reaching out. I'd love to hear from you, ask any questions, and love to feature it on the next future podcast. Thanks.